listening to Rumination Thursday on KFUO. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and being a Rumination Thursday, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing fine, Tom. How are you?
Well, I was doing pretty good until I looked at the front page of the Post-Dispatch. And, you know, we're hearing a lot about fake news. And sure enough, as soon as I saw the title, I knew it was going to be fake news. It's about a church, and here was the subtitle. At this fast-growing church, everyone is welcome. Now, I don't believe that's true.
What do you mean you don't believe that's true?
I sure don't welcome everybody at the church I was at.
And why was that?
Well, for example, we even had rules that if you're teaching Sunday school or doing nursery, you can't be a pedophile. We don't welcome serial rapists, illegal aliens, murderers. And yet, according to the Post-Dispatch, here's what they say. One that includes rapid growth based on the simple premise that anyone who walks through the front door is welcome, no asterisks. Well, I think there are a lot of asterisks, because it's one thing to say, and I'm sure you would say this in your congregations, that anybody is welcome to come to a worship service, but it's quite another thing to say that they're welcome to become a member or take the Lord's Supper.
You're right. Yeah, I was reading through that too. You know, I kind of came to the conclusion what their theme song was.
What was that?
That old rock song, Feelings, Nothing More Than Feelings.
Boy, if that isn't true, this pastor, being United Methodist pastor, I can understand this. He wants people who have been rejected from other churches. And therefore, one of the, in my opinion, big thing is gay people.
Did the churches really reject him, or did they feel rejected?
No, I think they really are rejected. For example, if you're an unrepentant homosexual, you will not be able to take the Lord's Supper at Christ's table.
Well, but wouldn't we say that's true not just only of homosexuals, but any person who's unrepentant?
That's my point. That's why a church really cannot say that anyone is invited to become a member, no asterisk. And the fact that they have the Lord's Supper giving out to anyone, here's what it says. At each service, he invited everyone to take communion. Wine to the left, grape juice to the right, gluten-free wafers available upon request. Everyone is welcome to take communion. We just ask that you are seeking Christ wherever you are in that journey. Now, that's not the criteria that God gives in 1 Corinthians 11. People who take communion who are not properly prepared not only can get ill, but they also were dying. So what kind of church loves its people to give that out to just anybody?
Have you ever heard of this guy called Herman Sasse?
Herman who?
Herman Sasse.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote that book, This Is My Body.
Right, from Australia.
Yes. He puts in there that when you see the decay of the sacrament of the altar, you see the decay of the church. And he says, no wonder we're seeing the decay of the church all around us as a result of that.
Yeah, you can't possibly be preaching the gospel in a church like this, because the gospel indicates an act of repentance. Although what I did find interesting, he talked about that he had a sermon series, and one of the items was on the lost sheep. He says, I tell you that in the same way, now this is a quote from Mark, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And they say that's the foundation of the gathering. Now, that may be the foundation of the Christian church, but it can't be the foundation of this group called The Gathering, because right. they're not requiring repentance for obvious sins.
Well, you know, I took a look at that sermon online, and you know who the shepherd was that
the shepherd who found the lost sheep. Who did he say it was?
It was each individual that they were to bring in, help bring in the lost sheep, bring in that person into the church.
So you listened to some of his sermons. Was it filled with Jesus on the cross?
No.
Was it even found in any of them?
I honestly can say that I listened to about three or four. Now, I didn't listen to them all, but I found nowhere where it talked about Jesus on the cross, Jesus dying upon the cross, that Jesus founded the church, that he's the very foundation of the church.
This is a real, that's a really good insight. It's a law gospel insight. When you read the Bible from the point of view of the law, even the parable of the lost sheep is a command to you to go out and find the lost sheep, put it on your shoulders, and carry it home. Whereas we know it's a story about Jesus having found the lost sheep, put its sins on his shoulders, and went the way of the cross. There was nothing like that in that sermon at all, was there?
Right, and probably the other thing that I look at is, you know, we often talk about the marks of the church.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the marks of the church is where can I find a church that I can attend that truly is created by Christ? Marks of the church is pure gospel and the correct administration of the sacraments.
Yes.
And that, of course, constitutes what we call the means of grace. That, you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God, and then baptism and Lord's Supper. And that's how our church is created. There is just you show up and you're part of the church.
Now, I don't know if they practice it or not, but there was no knowledge about infant baptism. Did you hear anything about that?
I looked for it, and I couldn't find any.
No. Well, once you deny the sacramental value of the Lord's Supper, as Sasi says, everything starts falling apart. And what you're doing, you're just having a wonderful gab fest where people are welcome regardless of their sinful condition. And I tell you, I would not put my children in those Bible studies that they're going to have for children, because LGBTQ or whatever you call those people, they're going to be teaching them, and the children are really going to be hearing about abomination against God as being okay.
Right. Well, critical to their thinking was, be who I am. God made me the way that I am, and then it's okay. Then I can start to believe.
Well, that's interesting, because that's exactly what pedophiles say. I was born this way. It wasn't my fault. In fact, I heard a Law and Order television show, and usually they're politically correct, but this was from years ago before they got that way. And it was about a pedophile who went to court, and he had been charged with fooling around with a 14-year-old girl. And she said, no, we love each other. I don't have any problem with it. And he said, look, I was born this way. So how can I be penalized for the way I was born? And, of course, the jury did still declare him to be guilty. But today, that, well, I was born that way is an argument used by, for example, gay people or women who want to murder their children because they don't really have love for the fetus within them. And so they say they're born that way, and why should I be held accountable?
Right, and you contrast that the other direction, because when we talk about pure gospel and the right administration of the sacraments, we're talking about that it is Christ who creates that faith in our hearts by the Holy Spirit and brings us into a new relationship, into that church together.
Well, let me ask you, in light of the fact that you heard some of his sermons, in regard to the law, would you get the impression that it's the church and the hypocritical people who are the 99 Pharisees, not allowing all these people into the church who are unrepentant in their sin? Or did you ever hear true law preaching?
I never heard any true law preaching. They talk about them being rejected from other churches, but that's as far as they go. They don't go any further as whether they're good churches, bad churches. But what's missing is central to all of this is Jesus, because you come into their church, you're welcome into the church, and then you maybe seek Christ out, and Christ is the power. Your faith is, they describe faith, pistis, as your personal faith for you to triumph over everything.
Once more, they get that problem that's all over the church these days, that faith is something you decide to do by inviting Christ into your heart or whatever. They talk about a member, even give her name, Laura Checkett. She's grateful that space was made for her. She had been raised in an evangelical household, and she hid who she was, taught that being gay was an abomination. She says, "I grew up loving God and that connection to the church, but feeling like a fraud," she said. "So as a young adult, I ran far, far away from church and God. I said, this is bogus." Now listen to this next part. "If I can't be who I am, how can I have that intimate relationship?"
That's right.
Now, we talk about the way you are is also according to your old Adam.
Adam.
And what do we believe that even an infant is born with?
Old Adam, original sin.
Exactly, original sin. And I've often said, I don't understand why some people have some kinds of sins in some areas, others have sins in other areas, some get very angry, some don't have a conscience, some think that being gay is okay, others think that having an abortion is fine with God. This is the way that the old Adam, which is nothing less than the devil itself, is trying to persuade us. And the only true thing she said, which I found interesting, "I ran far, far away from church and God." What she doesn't realize is that the church that she thinks is okay for her now has also run away from God.
Right. Because we believe that the church's foundation is through Christ's marriage, Christ's death upon the cross. And that's the only way out. Faith makes one a member of the church. Faith comes from hearing that word of Christ.
Now, we want to make really clear that though not everyone is welcome to become a member, everyone is welcome to dialogue with a pastor. If that were not true, we would not have chaplains assigned to prisons.
Oh, yeah. I can remember times in my ministry where it took me up to 2 years just sitting down and talking with somebody before they joined the church.
Yes. Yeah, I had that situation once with a person. He wasn't an atheist, but he wasn't sure there was a God. And we had a number of conversations just with, he wanted to speak about certain issues, and then finally got into adult instruction about halfway through, he came to faith. But it takes time, it takes patience, it takes love. So we don't want to say that no one is invited to speak to a pastor, but we don't want to say that anyone, regardless of their situation, is welcome to become a member.
Right. Wouldn't we say, though, that when it comes to looking at the church, the view is always from God's view, that the church is built from above?
What do you mean by that?
Well, in the article, church is built horizontally among each other.
Yes. Oh, good point.
And really, it's a vertical relationship that when we're talking about with God, it first begins with the faith that God has created in our hearts.
Yes, and that's because from above, the Holy Spirit creates that faith when you hear the gospel.
Right, so, you know, the church we would call the body of Christ, and the head is Christ. Christ is the head. And that we learn from Ephesians 1:22, 5:23, and Colossians 1:18.
Yes, when we say that the church welcomes all people, there's no doubt that even Saul, while he was a murderer of Christians, he became welcomed by God, but that's because his faith changed and he now repented of his sins. I mean, Paul says, I'm the greatest sinner in the world, you know, even after you've been converted. He recognized something about his sinful condition that this church doesn't seem to be talking about at all. I've always said you never can make the gospel clear unless you first make the law clear.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point that you bring up. And the fact, too, that Christ is missing is salvation that he's won for us by his death and resurrection.
Yes, it's one thing to say that I feel comfortable somewhere because I'm welcomed. But if the welcoming is done on the basis of, as you said, emotions and feeling rather than the word of God, I'm sure the Pharisees felt very welcome when they went to the synagogues because they were top flight officials and they knew that God loved them because they were so good in their works. But Jesus looked at them and said, you know, your father is the devil. In other words, heaven is not your home like it would be for the repentant tax collector.
And wouldn't we say, though, that when we look at church fellowship, fellowshipping with one another, it's got to come from the marks of the church?
Yes, and those marks you were saying are word and sacrament. So if you are misspeaking the law and giving the impression, in fact, let me ask you this. You heard some of his sermons. Would you say that every time he gave the law, it really was a finger pointing outside of his church?
Yeah, quite often.
Yes. See, that's what happens with these churches that have forgotten that Christ is the way. They no longer properly point the finger at the people in the pew for their sins. I heard a really interesting, you know, I'm listening to this guy Peterson from the University of Toronto. And he was saying that when he begins his classes, and he teaches psychology and sociology, etc., he says, I tell them that the reason they're there is to get their Nazi feelings out of them.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was really good at this, because I've said this for a long time. Anyone can move to become a Nazi under the right circumstances. We're all sinners, and there's no distinction between a Nazi and any one of us when we look at our original sin.
And hence the need for Jesus and his blood to cover our sins. I mean, just drawing them to this kind of church really scares me, because it preys upon those that are weak and looking for identity, and that identity is lost in a church like that.
Yes, it's like saying to somebody, it really doesn't matter what your sin is, you're welcome to come communion if you're seeking Christ, whatever that means. But in that church, seeking Christ means to try and follow his example in loving everyone, and has nothing to do with the real purpose of the Bible, that Jesus died on the cross for your sinful condition. And if people in that pew at that church don't ever get hit by the law, they don't think they're sinners. We're right. All an abomination before Almighty God. That's what we confess.
Right. You bring up that good point about loving one another. You know, when we look at the church being created from above, it is Christ who creates that faith by the Holy Spirit. through the means of grace, word and sacrament, and that creates faith. And from the faith comes the love. And they've tried to turn it on its head and make love first, faith, and then we finally find God.
Well, they have a definition of love that isn't biblical at all. It means being nice to someone, not hurting them, making them feel good. How would you like to have a doctor, you have a pain, and he diagnoses it as cancer, but he won't tell you because he doesn't want to make you feel bad?
Bad, yeah.
That's what this church is doing. You've got people with cancer sitting in the pews. We're talking about spiritual cancer. We Lutherans confess that. I preached last night, and part of the confession was that I deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. These people are not hearing that message.
Right. You can't give them the gospel. And, of course, right after they confess their sins, he says, instead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. There can be no forgiveness if there's no confession.
Yes, there's no need for forgiveness. In fact, this church is really the 99 Pharisees who have left other churches because they were accused of being sinners that they don't think they were sinners. I mean, the Pharisees did not agree with Jesus that they were sinners to the level that he said, particularly when he compared them to tax collectors, that because of their repentance, they were on their way to heaven.
Yeah.
It is a horrible teaching not to preach the law properly to people sitting in the pew and wanting as your goal to make them feel comfortable in the sense that, you know, we accept whoever you are, as the Post-Dispatch said, without any asterisks.
And I think that brings up an important point that you've often made, you know, to the listeners of KFUO, that if we preach something other than the gospel or the word of God, change it to a different station, we're there to give them the pure gospel, the pure word of God.
Yes. KFUO is really unique here because much of what we say, a lot of denominations are going to disagree with. Even a Lutheran denomination, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, they are so bad now in their theology that our own convention ruled that they're not Lutheran anymore because of their denial of clear passages of the scripture as well as clear examples of morality.
But on the same hand, wouldn't we say too that we as Lutherans would say that there are many others that are Christians that don't call themselves Lutherans but believe in the gospel, and we know that they're going to go to heaven?
Every person that believes that they are a sinner for which Jesus Christ died for their specific sin and has given them the forgiveness of sins, they are on their way to heaven, regardless of whether they call themselves Lutheran.
I kid some of my friends that aren't Lutheran. I said, when you get to heaven, you'll finally be a Lutheran.
Yes. Yeah. It's not like that angel who took people up and they went by a room and he said, be real quiet as you go by the room because the Lutherans are in there and they think they're the only ones in heaven.
Yeah, well, I reverse it the other way and say, you all finally decided to become Lutherans.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know what is going to change my doctrine when I get to heaven, because the confessions of the Lutheran Church, and I challenge anyone to find a more accurate summary of the scriptures than they are.
Right. Right. Well, Walther said it in his long gospel, you know, the Bible Church is the Lutheran Church. Lutheran Church is the Bible Church.
Yes.
It's just strictly out of the Bible.
Well, how many times have I said that? If I ever say something, you challenge it, phone me, and if I can't find the Bible verse, turn the station, I'm a false teacher.
Yeah, I notice they try, every once in a while you'll get one on Open Mic Friday, and it's really an interesting discussion.
Yes, and I don't mind being challenged. No pastor should mind being challenged, because we're challenging everybody in the pew. At last night's sermon, about halfway through the service, these people thought they didn't have a chance of getting to heaven after we talked about the law. And then the gospel came to the forefront, and they realized that the reason they're going to heaven is because God is merciful, gracious, and he gives the gift of the forgiveness of sins.
It's Jesus and only Jesus.
Well said. So tomorrow's going to be Open Mic Friday. You can talk about what we talked about today or what I spoke about yesterday. What did I talk about yesterday?
Oh, government. That was interesting.
The different views of the why some are for and some are against the Supreme Court justice. But we'll open it up or to anything else that you might have. We appreciate you being on, Pastor Reimnitz. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, a click away 24 hours a day. Originating from the studios of KFUO Clayton, St. Louis, the messenger of good news.